When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock here with you again on Sports Grid. Great to be with you here. It is a football Friday. We've only have one of these left to go in 2 weeks with the Super Bowl, Davis. We've come down to the end of the season and feels like we're in for some good games this Sunday. I can't wait. I know we're going to dive a little bit into that later on in the show as Jim Sannis will join us. But I know for you, it's a little bit different. Your Chiefs, who you root for, are always, seem to be in this situation. But I think for the first time since you and I have been doing the show, I don't sense that you're overly confident going into this game on Sunday.
No, I mean, look, part of it is that you got to call a spade. The Bengals have seemed to have the Kansas City Chiefs number. And also, I mean, look, if we would have done this, doing the show 5 months ago, the Chiefs trade away Tyreek Hill, one of the, if not the best, one of the five best wide receivers in the NFL, Travis Kelce, 33 years old, almost 34 years old. Like, look around. I mean, the team is just really not that good. The Bengals have a lot more truly premium players, but Mahomes, I mean, he really is that good. So we'll see. I just think that I think both games on Sunday are going to be pretty good. And I don't think that we got a ton of good games last weekend.
No, we did not. Let's get to our headlines here on the show. After we left you yesterday, late in the afternoon, the Carolina Panthers hired their new head coach. You may be familiar with him. Frank Reich takes over in Carolina. Hey, let's be honest. He did a good job in Indianapolis through the years. A lot of winning seasons. We'll see what he can do with the Panthers. Yet another head coach for them. The Dallas Mavericks, they beat the Suns, but Luka left early with an ankle injury, so this is one to watch, especially with the All-Star game coming up soon. Dan Quinn surprisingly decides to stay with the Dallas Cowboys instead of interviewing with other teams, as he wants to chase a Super Bowl, he says. Or basically, Jerry Jones went to him and put some money in his pocket, Davis, one way or the other. Also, the NBA announced the All-Star game starters. I saw some controversy with this, with some of the player votes. Guys got votes who didn't even play in the league this season. I know Kevin Durant's happy that he got voted in, but listen, these all-star voting, it's never going to be without controversy and this stuff, so I guess that's what's happening here yet again.
Yeah, and I mean, look, remember, for the NBA, starting, making the all-star game, this stuff like actually matters for guys' paychecks, because if you qualify, if you make the all-star game on your rookie contract, or you make the All-NBA team on your rookie contract, it's called the Rose Rule, it allows you to make like significantly more money. So one of the things here that's pretty interesting is Zion making it, pretty good for him. Donovan Mitchell making it, pretty good for him. Both of those guys allowed themselves. And then, some of the guys who missed, right? Some of the guys who are not in the starting lineup, not as good, not as good for them to not make it and, to not be eligible. But I do love Giannis and LeBron being the captain. Honestly, for me, though, I think the best, because we talked about this yesterday in Fantasy Reality, the best TV would have been Durant and LeBron being the captains, because these guys they've known each other forever. They work out together in the offseason, all that stuff. And I mean, Giannis is like a character, though. But I mean, Giannis is what, 27 years old? LeBron's 38. It's like, what do these dudes have in common?
Yeah, not too much. But regardless of that, the game should be exciting. Of course, the dunk contest, this is all coming up in February, folks. We're closing out the month of January, no doubt. Davis, real quick, we didn't talk about this yesterday because it happened late in the day. Carolina Panthers hire Frank Reich. A lot of success as the OC in Philadelphia. Moderate success as the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. And let's be honest, we really don't know how much he had to do with that quarterback shuffle for about 4 or 5 years. At the very least, I think Carolina is going to be a 500 team. I think Frank Reich has proven that he's going to get that team to 500. The question is, can he do it with what's presently there at quarterback? And I'm guessing the answer is no.
The best thing that I can say about the Frank Reich hire is that he's an offensive head coach. And look at all of the guys that they have been hiring in Carolina over the years, all been defensive guys. And to be honest, I do feel bad for Steve Wilks, who, I mean, Steve Wilks did a really good job. He took a team that was not trying, that had nothing to play for, and he was like, all right, guys, like, let's do it. Let's go win these games, clearly. I mean, had they won that game against the Buccaneers in week 17, they could have made the playoffs, you know, and sure, it was not a super skilled roster. So again, this does bring into question all the NFL's hiring policies with the Rooney Rule and all that's like it's not great. It certainly is not a good look for Tepper and the Panthers. But I am at least excited that the Carolina Panthers, who do have a lot of good offensive players, right? I mean, DJ Moore, but we're heading into year six this guy to get a real quarterback. But like, I do think hiring really good offensive coaches is probably the right way to build an NFL franchise.
Yeah, interesting stuff going on in the National Football League, even with the championship games on deck. And we are going to give you a full daily fantasy preview coming up in about 15 minutes. Jim Sanis is going to join us from FanDuel and NumberFire. We're going to break down exactly who you should be playing on Sunday, AFC Championship and NFC Championship. For those of you who are unfamiliar with the times, 3 o'clock Eastern for the NFC Championship, and I believe 7 o'clock Eastern for the AFC Championship. Now, back in my day, Davis doesn't remember this, first championship game, Davis, was always 1 o'clock Eastern. that was it. It was 1 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and that was it. These games are now played at night. All right, we will be right back with some NFBC average draft position in fantasy baseball. Players changing places in the offseason, a couple in Chicago last night.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on SportsGrid. Craig Mish along with Davis Maddock. We're going to take a look at 3 players in fantasy baseball for the upcoming season and look at their average draft position in the National Fantasy Baseball Championships. Believe it or not, drafts have been going on for a month now and are going to have a lot more in February. And so what we're trying to do is take a look at some of the average draft position of some of these players. Davis and I will debate, we'll go back and forth as to whether or not they're on our list. And most importantly, these are players that are changing locations since the offseason. So first player we're going to dive into today was really the biggest signing for the Chicago White Sox in the offseason, in a very tumultuous offseason. We were told a few years ago, Davis, that the White Sox were going to be significant players, maybe even win a World Series. They hired Tony La Russa, right? Like, this was all going on. And I don't know. I'm looking at their offseason, Davis, and I'm thinking this may be one of the worst offseasons of any team in Major League Baseball. But I digress. Let's take a look. Andrew Benintendi, you're going to have to be a major, not just a decent part, Davis. He's going to have to be a major part of this team going into the season. You see his average draft position is right around 230. Went to the Yankees, got hurt with the Yankees, and so, you know, really didn't get to experience the full Benny Ball game there in New York. I know that you saw him a bunch of years in Kansas City, and look, I mean, it's an individual player sport, let's be honest, in baseball, and especially with the NFBC, but I have a feeling when we get closer to just talking about teams in general, Davis, the White Sox fired their manager. Their starting pitcher is probably going to be on the restricted list to start the season because of a domestic issue. Their top closer is just have has a, such an unfortunate situation going on with cancer, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, with Liam Hendricks. Jose Abreu was probably the best player on their team, Davis. He went to Houston. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm just a little worried about this team going into the season, which makes me worried about all their players, because you know how that works. You just never know what the second half will look like. But Benintendi, obviously the first half should not be an issue. Every team feels like they're in it. But what do you think you get from him?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think he should be in a premium lineup position, right? He probably is going to end up batting second, and he will bat behind Tim Anderson and ahead of Louis Robert, Eloy Jimenez, and Yoan Moncada, who I continue to want to buy on, even though he has been bad for like 2 years at this point. So the issue with Benintendi, you are going to get a good batting average from him. He had 304 last year. He's kind of been like a 280, 290 guy for most of his career, pretty good at taking walks. The issue with him, 5 home runs last year, 17 home runs the year before. You really don't think you're going to get 20 home runs from him. So you'd like to get some stolen bases. And when he was in Kansas City, he did steal some bases because Kansas City loves to steal bases. Now, Craig informed me in the break that the Chicago White Sox new manager came from Kansas City, was the old bench coach in Kansas City. So maybe him and Tim Anderson will both have the green light and he'll be able to get to 18 steals. I think if he does 290 batting average, 12 home runs, 18 steals, and the White Sox are capable on offense, he could be okay. I mean, this is, there are 100 guys like Benintendi, it feels like, honestly, for fantasy baseball. Like, he's like a filler, right? If you take Benintendi, you're feeling fine. But I'm not, like, betting on Andrew Benintendi fulfilling his, you know, Baseball America prospect status or whatever. Like, I think he is who he is.
Yeah, the hardest part going into this fantasy baseball season for the analysts this year is understanding the dynamic, Davis. The shift is one thing. Steals are going to be another because the bases are bigger and there's a pitch clock now. So, I mean, everybody could be stealing this year. You know, we just really don't know how this is going to change the game, which makes Benintendi less valuable if everybody is stealing sort of as much as he is. But you probably hit it in a, you know, 12-team league, fourth outfielder, you know, and by the way, going to be in Chicago for a long time, signed a long-term deal there too. I'm just a little bit worried about their team going into the season, to be honest. All right, now the Chicago Cubs, all things considered, Davis, they did go out and do a lot in the offseason, primarily getting Dansby Swanson. That was the big signing. But a couple of weeks ago, they also brought Trey Mancini into the fold, who has an unbelievable story of beating cancer, of course, first and foremost. That's the first thing with Trey Mancini that you think of. And you see him in that Astros uniform. I'm going to guess, Davis, you didn't even know he was on the Astros, no offense, last year at the end of the year.
No, I
think
did.
A lot of people. Okay, you did. Okay, a lot of people completely forgot. Because you don't want to look up his numbers with Houston last year. It's just, it's not worth taking a look at. And that's why his ADP, Davis, has dropped so much. You never would have guessed that his ADP right now is like undraftable, right? It's like 270 right now in the NFBC. And so you have to wonder, like, did the skills deteriorate when he went to the Astros? He was not playing at all in the postseason for them. Did end up getting the World Series ring, but he, you know, unfortunately, just wasn't the same guy that he was in Baltimore. How about going to the Cubs?
I mean, what's he going to do? Like, how bad would this dude have to hit to be benched? I mean, Mancini, Bellinger, you know, just bring in these dudes who strike out 37% of the time and try to fix something with them. Maybe the Cubs have some grand plan that we are not seeing. I mean, Mancini has been like a super valuable guy in fantasy baseball before. 2019, 35 home runs, 291 batting average. Even going back to 2017, 24 home runs, 290 batting average. Now you're right. I mean, this dude was, he was not good. He was not good last year. 18 home runs, but a 230 batting average, striking out almost 150% more than he was able to take walks. The reason why, Craig, the reason why I knew that he was an Astro was because we had Yuli Gurriel on our NFBC main event team, and we did not want Trey Mancini. We did not want Mancini stealing plate appearances away from him, which could have ended up happening, but he was so bad that Gurriel just ended up playing every day. Anyways, this is sort of the opposite of Benintendi. This is the sort of the guy I'm willing to take shots on in, you know, these later rounds. I mean, an ADP of 270, like, we're talking, like, he might even go in the reserve rounds. Like, I mean, this guy could totally hit 30 home runs. Like, you want guys, power and speed are at such a premium. These guys who do have like crazy upside in those categories, I don't care if he hits 190, just the fact that he has the ability to hit, I mean, you could put him in your line. He could hit 3 home runs in a week on a road trip or whatever. So I do like Mancini.
Yeah, I mean, I think in a good lineup, the Cubs have to be a little bit improved, and I think we're rooting for this player, so hopefully he ends up succeeding. I'm probably more interested in him than I am, honestly, in Benintendi this year. I don't know. I don't like what's going on in Chicago. Now, finally, a trade was made at the trade deadline last year, Davis, and what was called a baseball trade. Harrison Bader goes from the Cardinals to the Yankees. He was hurt, only played at the end of the year. But, Davis, Jordan Montgomery filled a huge need for the St. Louis Cardinals. He was fantastic with them. And the industry has reacted. He's inside the top 200 now as far as being drafted. SP3, maybe SP4 in a 12-team league. Left-handed pitcher. He's absolutely going to be in the Cardinals rotation. I would say he's probably their 2, maybe their 3 going into the season. And, you know, the Cardinals work that magic, Davis. They get a guy and immediately the guy becomes good. It just happens to them all the time.
I mean, yeah, you hit the nail on the head. The Cardinals have one of the top 3 pitching coaching staffs in general. Like, they know how to develop their guys. The issue is, and this is true with like pretty much all Cardinals pitchers, is they're so ground ball heavy, they're so ground ball focused that they don't generate like loads and loads of strikeouts. I mean, this is true with all great Cardinals pitchers, is that you can't, it's like, oh my gosh, I just got this guy going for the Cardinals and he just went 7 clean innings. I got to be crushing in daily fantasy. Right. Oh, he got 3 strikeouts, right? Now, that being said, this cost totally adjusts for that. Like, taking a Cardinals pitcher in the top 100, though, you're never doing. I don't know. Feels a little inflated to me, though, this price does. It feels a little inflated to me. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the team scores runs, wins still count. I think that's, if that's a league you're playing in, I think that's, you know, counts toward this. I think that's probably why Cardinals are, you know, easily the favorite to win the division, you know, in the NL Central. You know, also, again, but you hit it for sure. I mean, Miles Michaelis, good pitcher, not striking out. Waino, good pitcher, not striking out. Flaherty would have been that guy, but he just hasn't been able to stay healthy for the Cardinals. But yeah, it hasn't been a model of health for sure. All right, coming up next, we dive into the daily fantasy slate coming up for Sunday's AFC and NFC championship. Here we go, folks. Last big slate of the year.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. It is Craig Mish and Davis Maddock on Sports Grid. And for the final time of the NFL season, we talk daily fantasy with our buddy Jim Sannis from FanDuel, of course, and Number Fire. Jim, it's a bittersweet day for us. I know that we still have a lot to talk about as the year goes on for sure. But as far as the pro football daily fantasy season is concerned, I understand there are one-game slates and the captain spot and all that, but let's be honest. You know, having more than one game in daily fantasy is what it's about, and here we are, AFC and NFC Championship. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, they really do lessen, like, the sadness around that by giving us 2 fantastic games. You know, some really fun quarterbacks here, great skill guys. So it is a bummer, but it is fun that we get to go out on what I would call a high note this week. So I think that does lessen the blow at least a bit here.
All right, so a lot of game theory going to have to happen here. Who's going to win the game? Which quarterbacks are going to be used? I mean, the choices are very slim, so let's run through them here. As always, we start off with quarterback, and the highest-priced quarterback on the board is Jalen Hurts this week. He is at $9,200 over on FanDuel. I suppose they had to put the pricing of Patrick Mahomes a little bit less just because of the injury concern, so here he is at $8,500, so you have to wonder, is this a great play? Is this a horrible play? I don't know. Is there middle ground even here? Joe Burrow is $8,300. And then Brock Purdy, you can get all the way down, Jim, $6,900 on FanDuel. All right, so which quarterback are you going with on this slate?
Yes, yeah, so last week the defining question was, do you think Joe Burrow can overcome his offensive line? And he could. And I think this week the overwhelming question is, can Patrick Mahomes be healthy enough to be a viable DFS play? And I'm going to just go in assuming the answer is yes. And as a result, I think that game as a whole is more attractive than the other game. I've got the total in this game about 4 points higher than the other game. So to me, it really does revolve around Burrow and Mahomes. I think both guys are great plays. Honestly, I don't think Mahomes will be a zero in the rushing category. That's a good thing from him from a DFS perspective. Salary is down. I think the Chiefs will be able to move the ball pretty effectively here. So to me, I think both Mahomes and Burrow are standouts. That's not to speak ill of Jalen Hurts, but his salary $700 higher at a slate where I need all the savings I can get. And I don't like that game environment as much. So to me, I'm going to build around Burrow and Mahomes. I'm going to make the assumption Mahomes is healthy. That does benefit Joe Burrow too, because it increases the odds this game shoots out. So to me, building around those guys as a result of my assumption going in that Patrick Mahomes is healthy enough to command an efficient offense once again.
Yeah, I am, as usual, completely aligned with Jim. And I'm less likely to just stone cold jam Mahomes in if by Sunday morning it looks like the field is going to be doing the same thing. Now, the way I anticipated quarterback ownership breaking down was Hurts number one, Burrow number two, Mahomes number three, Purdy number four. Obviously, if you give me that distribution, I'm all over Mahomes as the third most owned quarterback, especially because any person you pair him up with who's not named Travis Kelce is going to be a leverage play on the slate, whether it be Tony, Sky Moore, Hardman, if he plays, even McKinnon after what he get 1.2 half point PPR points last week, you know, did absolutely nothing. But Sunday morning, honestly, if it looks like Hurts and Mahomes are going to be pretty close, I am going to go with Hurts just because I think, like, one, I mean, you know exactly the three dudes he's throwing to. There's no spin the mystery wheel on who's going to catch touchdowns for the Philadelphia Eagles. But also, like, his one-game ceiling on a site with no bonuses, no 300, you know, whatever, like, he does have a higher one-game ceiling than Patrick Mahomes.
All right, so there you go. That's the quarterback situation going into the weekend slate. Now, in the NFC Championship, we've got the top running back, and boy, you got to pay the price this week if you want to use Christian McCaffrey, because on FanDuel, he is at 9,000 in a two-game slate. That is a lot for a player like this, because everybody else is much less. Joe Mixon, 8,100. Jerick McKinnon, very quiet last week, surprisingly. He's down to 6,500. Isaiah Pacheco, 6,300. Miles Sanders, 5,200. And then we have Elijah Mitchell just over that at 5,600 this week. So, I mean, this is like playing, it feels like running back roulette, Jim, because outside of McCaffrey and Mixon, feels like the winner this week and the people who are going to make the money are going to pick the right running back because one of these guys is going to score. I just don't know who it is.
Yep, great question. Don't know either. And I think that's why you can kind of allow what the projected roster rates are for these guys to kind of dictate where you want to go, specifically with the lower salary guys. And right now, it kind of seems like people are pretty low on Isaiah Pacheco. And I find that a bit confusing. Obviously, his snap rate will be low, but when he's on the field, he gets the ball and he's been effective. And if you look at the success rate for McKinnon and Pacheco in shotgun, if we make the assumption the Chiefs operate more from the shotgun to put less of a burden on Mahomes' ankle, Pacheco, although he's not as good as he is under center, because most running backs are not, is a much more effective running back from shotgun than McKinnon is. So I think that Pacheco probably gets a lot of work in this game still. So for 63, he makes a lot of sense. I think that Miles Sanders also, despite a bad usage week last week, they're not going to probably, I don't think, blow out the 49ers this week. So I think we'll see a tighter script. In the first half in that game last week, Sanders had a 59% snap rate in the first quarter, 50% in the second quarter. So if that game stays close, I'd expect a lot of work for Sanders in that game, and that makes him pretty attractive at 62. So if Pacheco is projecting to be lower rostered, I'd go there. If Sanders projects to go overlooked as a result of the dud last week, I would go there. I think both those guys grade out well. And as far as McCaffrey, I'm going to let Friday's practice report dictate what I do. If he gets in a full practice on Friday, I'm in. If he is limited, I'm going to downgrade him quite a bit and be very, very high in Debo Samuel, a guy I will turn to pretty much regardless, but it would up him for sure.
I mean, again, I mean, Jim knows Miles Sanders coming in as like probably the best leverage play on the slate. Pacheco looks like, I mean, the Chiefs are probably going to have to lean on him. This is probably going to be a game. I mean, I would not be surprised even to see Ronald Jones get some snaps in this game, actually, which they did not do last week. But I would imagine they're going to have him rotating in with the backs this week because Ronald Jones stinks at pass blocking and at catching the ball, but he is pretty good at getting 4 yards at a time. I mean, even like Ronald Jones was playing in the Super Bowl for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers a couple times when they needed 4 or 5 yards. So I would anticipate probably the same thing happening here. And McKinnon, you want to talk about duds last week. Like if Miles Sanders is going to be down at 30% of rosters or whatever, I mean, McKinnon is going to be no one wants to play McKinnon on FanDuel this week, right? Only half point PPR, probably just going to use Kelsey a ton around the red zone. One other thing I think you can do is if your take heading into this slate is the Emperor wears no clothes, the Eagles are going to get blown out at home or whatever, I think you can play McCaffrey and Eli Mitchell together in lineups because Mitchell's getting so much work near the goal line and McCaffrey can get there without a touchdown. I kind of like that angle.
Two guys on the 49ers this week. And look, second half of games, they've done that every week. They played both guys. So maybe that's the case again this week. All right, at wide receiver, we really don't have a lot of separation here. Everyone kind of bunched up here. Ja'Marr Chase of the Bengals, he is the highest price at 8,600. And then after that, it's pretty similar. A.J. Brown, 8,000. Devonta Smith, his teammate, just 300 less at 7,700. Debo Samuel is 7. T. Higgins is 6,700. Juju Smith-Schuster is 6,100 this week. And so I guess the question is before we get to tight end, Jim, is this where you save a little bit and try and find some value? Because, I mean, I kind of feel like you may have to have one of those top tight ends. I guess we'll get to that in a few minutes.
Yeah, I think the mid-range is the best range here at wide receiver because you got Debo Samuel at 7,000. I think regardless of whether Mitchell and McCaffrey are fully healthy, he's going to get a lot of rushing work. He's going to get a ton of work in the passing game too. So I think that Debo Samuel is like, if you look at just like any player at any position on this slate, he is the most undersalaried guy that you could possibly get. So I adore Debo Samuel this week, but also right beneath him is T. Higgins. Higgins has been bad recently. He has not had a big game in a long time, but does that mean he no longer has a big game in his range of outcomes? Absolutely not. He is still a very good football player in a spot where the Bengals may be forced to throw quite a bit. So they are justifiably focusing on Ja'Marr Chase a lot right now, but T. Higgins can still do it, man. So I like him a lot, especially with Hayden Hurst potentially being banged up right now. That could put more targets T. Higgins' way. So I adore Debo, love T. Higgins. And then as far as the value guys, I'm probably just going to split my exposure between Kadarius Toney and Mecole Hardman right down the middle, assuming Hardman plays, because both guys are going to get the ball if they're on the field. Neither guy's going to have a huge snap rate, but they both have a path to having a good game on FanDuel. So I would say just split Toney and Hardman down the middle for me, but really just want to live in the mid-range.
I mean, I would, if I was playing 150 lineups this week, I would maybe even do at least one of Toney, Hardman, and Valdez-Scantling, because I think the field is going to be pretty ambivalent on specifically Hardman and Scantling, and for the 900th week in a row, Devonta Smith remains the gold star play.
All right, at tight end, let's finish it off, guys. We got Travis Kelce. We'll run through this quick. He's the highest priced player, probably has to be played in DFS this week, I would imagine, at 8,500. Followed by George Kittle, 6,800, Dallas Goedert, who is just under that, Hayden Hurst, Noah Gray. I have no idea who Mitchell Wilcox is, Jim. I don't know who that is. So who are you playing at tight end?
I really want to play Hayden Hurst. Got to keep a close eye on the injury report Friday. If he gets a full practice, I'll be in there at 54. If not, I mean, Goddard's facing off against Fred Warner in the middle. That's a really tough spot. Kittle doesn't get a lot of volume for his salary, so I feel like he would want to get to Kelce. Everyone else will be doing the exact same. So I really hope we get Hurst with a full practice Friday because that would allow me to spend down and still get a guy with decent volume without having to splurge for Kelce.
I think that this is probably going to be the most two tight end lineups in the history of FanDuel on a two-game slate. I mean, Goddard, Kelce, all these dudes. But I will say Noah Gray scores a touchdown this weekend for the Chiefs.
Wow.
Maybe I'll leave you with that.
All right, there you go. Hey, Jim, awesome stuff, man, all season long in Daily Fantasy. Thank you so much for appearing all season with us. And I know your appearances don't end, but for football it does. Thanks again for coming on.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you both.
All right. We'll take a quick break and be back to wrap it up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are your one-stop shop for the AFC and NFC Championship games this weekend. You can watch them, stream us at the same time. Also, check out our social media accounts for the latest on these games. The line movement, particularly in the AFC Championship, has been pretty radical over the last week, so we'll keep you updated at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV as we close in on the big games this weekend. Davis, speaking of which, two games? Is it just as simple as Davis on the couch this weekend watching games, or is it because it's potentially the last game for the Chiefs? I mean, I hope not. And by the way, to be clear here on the show, I don't think I'm going to pick whatever, but I do think the Chiefs are going to win. I do think the Chiefs are going to win. But it could be their last game of the season, too. I think we have to acknowledge that. Where are you going to watch the game this week?
I probably am going to go to a bar for this one. Now, St. Louis is – it's an interesting thing, Craig. People here are so bitter about the Rams picking up and moving to L.A. Oh, yeah. People here don't really love football. It's sort of funny. Like, people here really like hockey, obviously, and people here really like baseball, right? They really like the Cardinals. The Cardinals get great support, like, whatever. But, yeah, football is sort of just, like, it's kind of in the background of the culture here. So, like, you'll go to a bar on – Sunday, and some people will be watching it, but you're not going to see a ton of Mahomes jerseys. I mean, you know, and I'm 3 hours away from Arrowhead. Like, it's not like there's another team that people could be rooting for here. There are a lot of Chicago transplants here, so you get some Bears fans and stuff like that. But I will be saving now if the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl, I might go home. I might go to Kansas City to go watch it with my buddies and then be back here on Monday morning. But there's like a cool little neighborhood bar right up the road from my house where I'll go watch.
All right. That could be a lot of fun. I'll be doing the same from my house here in South Florida. All right. Time now for us to close out our fantasy or reality for this Friday. Here we go. Luka Doncic last night was injured in the Mavericks game, and naturally that's going to have a lot more questions than answers over the next couple of days. But all things being equal, Luka will play the rest of the season. But how will the Mavericks fail? I mean, last season, I think they probably, fair to say, Davis, they overachieved a little bit, got further than most people predicted them to. I believe it was the NBA. Was it the finals or the West or the semifinals in the West? I don't recall which one it was, but it was one of the two. Jason Kidd did a really good job with them, but Luka has basically said he's looking for changes. Didn't say it publicly. This is a report, fantasy or reality. The Mavericks, Davis, will make significant changes at the deadline, because if they don't, I can tell you what their record is going to be. They're going to either have 41 wins, 42 wins, or 43 wins at the end of the season. They're going to be a little bit over 500 and just sneak in.
You know what? I think in today's day and age of the NBA, you can't really exist with a true superstar and not be trying to win championships. Not only because it doesn't make any sense. Like, why have Luka Doncic in his prime and be like, yeah, you know, let's see if we can get in the play-in, or let's see if we can beat the Clippers in, you know, a 3-6 series or whatever. Like, that doesn't make a ton of sense to have this great player and not be going for it. But the other reason you can't do it is, we're in the player empowerment era, baby. If Luka doesn't want to play for you, he is not going to. Like, the Kevin Durant situation I think we'll look back at that as such an anomaly, where a great player, a top five player, didn't want to play and it ended up working out. But just for example, the best example is what the Milwaukee Bucks did with Giannis, where Giannis wasn't even complaining. I mean, imagine Giannis complaining. Like, this dude always has a smile on his face, but Giannis had not signed his mega extension yet. What did they do? They traded a bunch of picks and a bunch of stuff for Drew Holiday. What did they get? An NBA championship, right? It ended up working out. Now, it didn't work out the year they traded for him. There was a little bit of growing pains. But I think Luka, very reasonably, just wants to see the Mavericks trying. Because right now, it doesn't even look like they're trying. Spencer Dinwiddie, you signed JaVale McGee to a 3-year contract. It this stuff feels like a joke. So I got to say reality.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to say fantasy only at this moment, because I don't have the details on who's available at the trade deadline. I have no idea. And by the way, not that far from it to figure out who's going to be out there. So if, like last year at this time, I think we were playing that James Harden game. He was going to end up going somewhere, so that made sense. Then Ben Simmons, but I mean, maybe I'm off, but I just haven't heard of a lot of big names being on the trading block at this time. So who could potentially go there that where you would immediately say, wow, Dallas is that much better? So in the offseason, I definitely could see it. But for the time being, I think Dallas is just kind of stuck on who they are. So I will say fantasy at the trade deadline this season. Two home games this weekend, one by Kansas City and one by Philadelphia. The Philadelphia Eagles have had a fantastic year. If they beat the 49ers, they're headed back to the Super Bowl. I think if you've watched the show, you know that already. It doesn't take us to tell you that. Kansas City Chiefs, how many times have they been in this spot in the AFC Championship? Pretty much every single year. And by the way, almost every year at home hosting the AFC Championship as well. Let's start with that. Fantasy or reality? Kansas City, Philadelphia, meeting in the Super Bowl in 2 weeks.
Yeah. I got reality, man. I think that we get a Super Bowl of the two one seeds. By the way, Patrick Mahomes has never played a road playoff game. Obviously, you know, the Super Bowl has not been in Kansas City. Those are neutral sites, but they've always been at home. Every year that Patrick Mahomes has started, they've made the conference championship. And you know what? I kind of think the Eagles and Jalen Hurts are set to go on a pretty similar run. The Eagles roster is pretty well set up. They'll have some configuring to do on the offensive line because some of their offensive linemen are getting up there. I think Jason Kelce is 35. I think Lane Johnson is 33. So they'll have some stuff to figure out there. But the NFC stinks, man. Like, look at the NFC. Like, what? Who are these teams we're really worried about? Maybe if the 49ers, solve their quarterback situation once and for all, you could say their roster is comparatively as good. But, The Eagles, I feel really good about the Eagles beating the 49ers. I'm just like, I'm not really sweating that one. That feels like it's already a done deal. I think the Chiefs, that game feels like a 55-45 type of coin flip to me.
Yeah. So first of all, let's start with this. I don't talk about that often on the show, but the general manager of the Philadelphia Eagles, I went to college with him. Okay. So I'm rooting for the Eagles, all right? I am rooting for the Eagles, but I'm also realistic here on the show, too. I got to keep it real. And I've talked about picking Kansas City, but this is fantasy. Something's going wacko this weekend. It happens every year. There's no way that this is going chalk. There's no way. I don't know which way it's going to go. Is it San Francisco going to Philadelphia and winning? Is it Kansas City falling flat, which has happened a lot in recent history, too? I don't know. I don't know which one of those two teams is going to lose. Both of them losing? Maybe. I could see that happening, sure, too. But one of the two home teams going down. One of the two home. It's going to happen. If I were you, I would be rooting for San Francisco. Because I think once that happens, then you kind of
totally
feel like,
totally.
Then, my gosh, the Chiefs are not losing. Two home teams losing? That's rare for that to happen in the AFC and NFC championship game just by odds. So I'm going fantasy, and I don't know what the outcome is going to be this week. I don't know, but pulling for Philadelphia and pulling for Kansas City because I want to pick Kansas City this week. That's the one game I don't get. I don't understand how everybody is so in love with Cincinnati this week after what I saw against the Ravens. They looked so bad. I mean, this is a week-to-week league. What's stopping Cincinnati from looking horrible against Kansas City this week? I don't get it.
It's because the Bengal Burrows are 3-0 against the Chiefs. That's why everyone's on the Bengals.
Who cares? Past is the past.
I'm just telling you.
And listen, I think I took Cincinnati on the show last year. I went against Kansas City last year at this time because the points were just too much.
I think that's
Kansas
right.
City only laying a point at home in the AFC Championship. I just got to take that. Simpsons has been renewed. One of Davis's favorite shows. Seasons 35 and 36. I'm old enough to be watching this from the very beginning. I remember when The Simpsons debuted on Fox. It was when Fox started, Davis. It was like one of their first shows. That when Fox became Fox, this was on Sunday night. It was Married with Children and In Living Color. I mean, I remember all the shows that were on there at that time. Fantasy or reality, you still watch The Simpsons Sunday nights after the NFL games are on Fox?
Okay, so this is half fantasy, half reality. So, like, I do watch new Simpsons episodes. Not obviously not as religiously as when I was a kid or whatever. But I don't watch them right after the game on Sunday, Craig, because as is well established in the lore of Fantasy Sports Today, I don't stay up this late, man. I wake up at 5:30 a.m., so I am not staying up until 10:30 at night watching TV. I don't even make it to the end of a lot of... Now, obviously, am I going to watch all of the conference championship? Am I going to watch all of... Yes, like I will be watching all of the Super Bowl and stuff like that. But the week 8 Sunday night football game between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cleveland Browns, am I there for Jacoby Brissett versus Mitch Trubisky in the second half? No, I am not. So this is half fantasy, half reality. I do still watch new Simpsons episodes. I will number one say this. It's never like people make it seem as if The Simpsons now is terrible and there's nothing has been good on the show since season 8 or whatever. Totally not true. Like there are still new great episodes, but nothing is going to compare to the nostalgia of seasons like 3 through 8 of The Simpsons, of course.
Yeah, I have not watched The Simpsons. I'm going to say I probably watched the first 15 years of it, I'm going to say. But I have not watched anything in the last 20 years of The Simpsons. I just have not. And I couldn't tell you one episode that has happened. Why is that the case? I'm not really sure. I just think that it's like every TV show has a great run and you want to be part of that when it happens. And then it just ends and you move on. And I think that's kind of what happened for me with this. The other thing, too, is that remember, Davis, when The Simpsons first came on TV, there was no Sunday night football. So this was it.
Right.
This was what everybody watched.
But it used to go up against The Cosby Show, right, on Thursday nights. And then it moved nights.
Yes. Yes, yes. So, yeah, so I would watch The Simpsons because there was no... And then all of a sudden, Sunday Night Football began. I think it was ESPN. It may have been even TBS at one point or TNT. I think it was TNT. And that was it. And then at that point, it's like I got 1 hour in between the next game. I'm like going to shop for food, getting ready for the next day. Like it was like no time to watch it. So last 20 years of Simpsons, I've been completely out. Doesn't mean it's a bad show. That's for sure. All right, that will do it for Fantasy Reality. Coming up next, it is the Sports Grid 60, and then we'll turn it over to the early line. For those of you interested in Super Bowl coverage, we have got you covered here. The week of the Super Bowl, just saw the schedule. It's going to be fantastic. Scott Farrell, Ben Stevens, Kevin Walsh, all of our guys here and girls at Sports Grid, Gabe, all headed out to Glendale, Arizona. They'll have you covered throughout the week. Right here on Sports Grid, starting Tuesday of Super Bowl week, if I'm not mistaken, from what I understand. So coverage was so awesome last year. I know they're going to do a great job this year as well. So hopefully you can tune in all week long. We will take our final time out here on the show, come back with the Sports Grid 60, and then again, I'll be back with you 2 o'clock Eastern for our Friday edition of Newswire. Warren Sharp will be on the show. We'll give out some picks as well. So don't go away. Our final time out is here. And we're back right after these messages right here on Sports Grid. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Matt LaFleur, recently let go by the Jets, already has a new job. He's been hired, according to NFL Network, by Sean McVay, new offensive coordinator of the Los Angeles Rams. Let's see what's on the mind of Davis Maddock as we wrap up our Friday show. Here's the Sports Grid 60.
Yeah, well, I actually did want to talk about coaching openings right now because the Chargers still have not hired an offensive coordinator as of yet. Now, apparently, they are bringing in, they brought 4 different guys in for interviews. I wonder if a guy by the name of Todd Monken, who is one of the original disciples of the Air Raid, he's been in the NFL, he's been in college, he's been around, I wonder if he ends up getting an interview with the Los Angeles Chargers, because I've gone back and forth on this. How desirable is that job? You get Justin Herbert, you get all these fun toys to play with, but again, if your team stinks this year, you're getting fired after 1 year, and you might not get a job in the NFL for a long time because everyone thinks Herbert is so great. I actually really enjoy the coaching hiring process because I think we learn a lot about these teams.
A few months ago, about 6-7 months ago, my wife and I drove up to Palm Beach and saw a comedian and former host of The Tonight Show, Jay Leno, perform in person. Thought it was very good. Shortly after that, as most people know, he was injured in an accident with one of his vehicles. I guess something caught fire and got him in the face. New York Post is reporting over the last couple of days, Jay Leno broke his collarbone riding one of his bikes or something like that. I mean, Jay, what are you doing? I mean, please. Stay off the bike. Stay out of harm's way just for like 6 months or something like that. Can't believe that this actually happened yet again. Saw the story, thought, oh, this is an old story. No, it's a new one too. Come on, Jay. Got to be careful. That'll do it for the show. Thanks to Jim Sanis, of course, our great producers. For Davis Maddock, I'm Craig Mish. Coming up next is The Early Line. I'm back with you at 2 o'clock Eastern for Newswire. And then Scott Farrell follows me at 3 o'clock Eastern. I hope you have a great weekend. We'll be back here Monday morning, 11 a.m. Eastern on FST.